Good evening, and welcome to WBOI Presents. I'm Sean Beter. In November of this year, 89.1 WBOI hosted its first ever Issues and Ales live event, a casual gathering of listeners and newsmakers aimed at opening conversations about our community. Tonight on WBOY Presents, we're bringing you the first hour of the event, a conversation on downtown development with Fort Wayne Mayor Tom Henry, Downtown Improvement District President Bill Brown, and Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. Now, we were talking about what topics to include in this first Issues and Ales, and given that we are in downtown Fort Wayne, given all of the news in the last few years about downtown redevelopments, new projects, a new focus on the downtown community here in Fort Wayne, we wanted to chat with a few of the folks who are pushing hard to make downtown vibrant again. So to help us in that conversation, please welcome Downtown Improvement District President Bill Brown. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
And somebody next to him you may know as well, the mayor of Fort Wayne, Mr. Tom Henry. Thank you so much for being with us, Mayor.
Thank you.
Let's get started here, gentlemen. And Mayor, perhaps we'll start with you. If you could take us back maybe even just a decade or a little bit beyond that. And tell us, I mean, what did downtown look and feel like really just a few short years ago?
About a decade or so ago, there's no question, downtown Fort Wayne was in a dormant state. There were a lot of boarded up buildings, a lot of closed businesses. We were going through a period of time, not unlike other cities, where a lot of the businesses were moving into the suburbs. There wasn't much retail, there wasn't much real interest in downtowns. Everybody wanted to be in the suburbs. And that's the way it was for years. And as I mentioned, not only Fort Wayne, but a number of other cities were going through the same experience. But about 7 years ago, Fort Wayne made a calculated risk, and that was to bring something downtown that had been mentioned before but never done, and that was to bring sports into downtown Fort Wayne. So Parkview Field was built. And if all of you remember, when Parkview Field was being discussed, over 60% of the people in Fort Wayne didn't want it because it was going to involve tax money. And being the frugal city that we are, we were very cautious about spending tax money. The mayor at that time, Graham Richard, though, and his staff thought it was important for us to do something downtown to try to bring some life back into downtown. So he began the process, and then he left office. I came in right after Graham, but he had started the foundation. He should be given a lot of credit for Parkview Field. He really got it going. But besides Parkview Field, we felt there were other necessities that would make downtown a place of destination. And one of those was a hotel. So we discussed with the Marriott family, with J.W. Marriott, and we were able to get the financing to build a hotel because our convention center needed one. In order for us to get more conventions, they needed more hotels. And so that's what we did. Then there was a need for more living space. So the Harrison was built. So we completed this whole Harrison Square project. And as a result, more and more people have come downtown. In fact, Parkview Field, many people have come up and said to me, Mayor, I was wrong. I was against Parkview Field. Little did I know this is what it was going to be. And as I think many of you and the listeners know, we've been voted the number one minor league ballpark in the entire country. You bet. The San Diego Padres management team was here not too long ago. Of course, they're our team. And they said this was better than any of their minor league team ballparks. So one after another, we're getting accolades. And every year, we set attendance records. We've also, for the most part, had a very good team. It was nice to win the championship the very first year we had Parkview Field open. So that helped out as well. But we're bringing more and more people into downtown. As a result, there's spinoffs. J.K. O'Donnell, where we're at tonight, they felt that it was necessary to have a dining facility close to Parkview Field. Then recently we had the condominiums development, Anthony Wayne. And most recently, the announcement of the new Ashe National Headquarters and the condominium apartment complex that will be attached to that. $72 million investment. We'll be at downtown. We haven't had an investment like that in decades, that large. So that's the progress that's been made over the last 10 years. But 10 years ago, we were in a hurt. And we've stuck with our guns. We take some calculated risks, and it's been successful.
And I want to dig into a few parts of that story as we go on here. But, Bill Brown, I want to get you involved in just a moment. I realize I neglected to acknowledge the astute-looking fellow next to me. Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel.
I thought it was going to be like a mystery guest game show.
Thanks for being with us. So I'll ask you, Bill, a question that I guess seems very simple, but I'm interested in your answer. Why downtown? Why does downtown matter in an age like today when we have so many ways, so many places to meet up, and so many areas around the city of Fort Wayne and elsewhere that are thriving? I mean, you go to any area on the edge of Fort Wayne, you can find community, you can find commerce, you can find friends, you can find people living their lives. Why does downtown matter now?
Well, I think downtown matters because it's unique. It's the you can't create downtown. It's not a suburb. You can build suburbs, shopping, all those things. But downtown is a totally unique thing it's kind of like they say you can't restore anything to original. Downtown is the beginning. It's the birthplace of our community. So it's grown to what it is. And I really think John Urban's, the quote he had in the paper the other day when he talked about did anybody have an opportunity to read that article in Sunday's paper about it was really well done about how the whole deal came together.
This was the story in the Journal Gazette from Sherry Slater, I believe
right,
it was.
Right, right.
About the Ashe brokerage.
Yeah, it really was a great story. I mean, it was a good read. Well, John's quote that I loved was, they were able to convince, and it's true, that Ashe Brokerage, who was looking for a campus out in the burbs like Sweetwater and Parkview and some of those that felt that's what they needed, John was able to convince them, honestly and very forthright, that make downtown your campus. As this downtown starts to build out, there's going to be amenities down here that you won't be able to duplicate elsewhere. The appetite for living downtown is really amazing to me. I've always been a big believer in downtown. I've been actually spent and developed in areas of the downtown that 30 years ago were pretty rough shape, and so I've spent a lot of my life investing and developing and helping bring business downtown. But the appetite for living downtown is incredible. This building right here that the mayor mentioned, the Glazes building this very authentic pub. Above it, there's four apartments. Those apartments got leased right off the bat. They did not experience one vacancy. There's another project that they partnered with a tech person, David Cochran, and developed at 817 South Calhoun, which is the old loaf and ladle across from the pint and slice. Well, they made a significant investment, partnered with the city. This whole coming together of people taking action and connecting to private sector leadership, I think the city of Fort Wayne has done an excellent job in doing that and helping to make downtown a good investment, because ultimately that's what people want, whether it's their lives, their job, or their cash. They want a good investment. So getting people to come downtown was something that has been thought about by a lot of folks. So back to the 817 South Calhoun. As soon as those four apartments were done and completed, two of them were pre-leased, and the Downtown Improvement District put a blurb on our social media. They had right away over 20 people standing in line, and the other two flew off the shelf, $700 to $800 a pop. You look at the Anthony Wayne building the mayor mentioned. Well, John Urbans, in his presentation that he does, is very fond of saying that there's probably going to be three $1 million condos. And who would have dreamt that that would have been the case? So this community has been willing to think big. It's another quote John had, part of the mayor's team of really qualified and competent people. And just one other thing about why downtown. Well, there's a long-term plan that's been put in place between the county and the city with Planet Allen years ago, Downtown Blueprint, Downtown Blueprint Plus. That created the confidence that a ballpark downtown could work. And I'm glad to say that when that ballpark was being moved from the Coliseum parking lot, I was actually running for commissioner, and I fully experienced that there was most people didn't want it. And I put an op-ed piece in and said, be bold for it, Wayne. Do this. This is important. I was a big advocate of that. And as the mayor mentioned, 60 or 70% of the people didn't want it. People said, and what you hear over and over again is, I didn't want it, but boy, I was so wrong. And that's from some very conservative folks. And I'm still looking for that one person, seriously, that one person that says, I hated it then, and I hate it now.
Bob Kaler.
Good question for both of you. Do we run the risk by having a series of public-private partnerships where the city is a financial participant in development? Do we run the risk of discouraging any big investment that doesn't have a public component?
I think in today's marketplace, it takes partnering. If we're going to ask an employer to come in, if we're going to ask a developer to come in and invest millions of dollars into our community, we should be able to step up and participate as well to let them know that we've got some skin in the game as well. The Ash project that I mentioned a few minutes ago, $72 million project, the city has roughly $19 million into it. Now, that's not cash. We gave them tax abatements. We got them some state funding, about $10, $12 million worth. It came from the state. But we did some other incentives as well to entice them to put that downtown. They didn't have to come downtown. They could have put it out in the county and made our county commissioners very happy. But we worked with them, and we said, we will partner with you if you put it downtown because we need to continue the momentum downtown. And we'll partner with you. But it's also good the flip side, because for many years, government was expected to fund things 100%. We can't do that anymore. We just don't have the financial capital to be able to meet the needs of all people that come before us. So we're asking companies to participate in projects as well. For instance, the facade grants that we have, very, very popular program where we help businesses improve the front of their businesses. Remember I said a few minutes ago that for years, downtown Fort Wayne didn't look too good aesthetically. Now, we could have gone to these businesses and said, you will fix up the front of your building or we'll hold you in violation of something. And if we don't have something, we'll make up something. Well, that's not the proper thing to do. So what we said is we will partner with you to fix up the front of your properties, which will help you out, but it'll help out downtown too. So that's the kind of environment that we live in right now. So if anything, Bob, what it does is it adds value to our city, that we're willing to put some skin in the game, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, to work with people so that they'll invest in our community.
You know, Bob, you hear that quite a bit, public-private partnership. Is it good or bad? But, you know, when you look at things a little differently, who is the public? The tax dollars. We talk about our tax dollars. Well, the tax dollars come from all of you. So, to me, community development's a team sport. Now, if the approach is measured, as the mayor mentioned, you've got the right balance of public-private partnership. I think that's very important, especially when you have momentum, because that moves things forward. It's like when you're winning, you want to continue to keep the momentum growing. It builds and then it grows. And let's think about something like the Green Bay Packers, for example. What's that got to do with downtown? Well, this whole notion of public investment, does anybody know who owns the Green Bay Packers?
Green Bay.
Yeah, the citizens. Yeah, the shareholders. So at that point, the 20% of or so of you that vote, you now are electing officials that are in charge of helping your community win. So when the Green Bay Packers win the Super Bowl, how do the citizens feel? They got some skin in the game. They feel darn good about it. So those of you that vote and are part of the process, and I should have said, I said 20% of you that vote, and I bet you there's a...
It's 100% of all of you.
Exactly. Exactly. So pardon me for putting my foot in my mouth on that one. But so this whole concept of public-private partnership, I think it's a matter of connecting to private sector leadership. When you got a winner, back it, make it go, get it up and running, and get on to the next one. I'll say another thing about what the mayor's administration did with the Anthony Wayne Building. That group of investors had wanted to develop that property for years. They finally came up with a vehicle through NSP money that was a federal grant to basically say, here's $1,000. Will that stiffen up the spine enough for you guys to do this project? And they said, that does it. They were in a position where they could have built 8 properties that had to be in that program. They got the party started, and guess what? People started to show up. They said, we don't need this money. They gave it back to the city to use for other development projects and neighborhoods. And there it is. It's history at that point. It's developing nicely. So I think we need to kind of think about these things, look at them through a different lens.
Bob?
I wanted to, I'm glad you brought up the facade grants, because that seems to be an exceptional visual impact return on investment for the city. When you think about 4- or 5-figure investment for one business, do you see that legacy funds might expand that program?
That's a good question, Bob. What facade money is several years ago, we thought it was important to take some of our city money out of block grant money. We get federal money every year, and we decided to take a couple $100,000 of that every year and ask businesses to match it one-to-one to help fix up the front of their businesses, to, again, make it more attractive for themselves, to attract customers, and to help out the facade of the city. It's been so successful that we actually have a waiting list, and we've never been able to meet everybody's needs. The legacy money, which is the utility money that we get from leasing our electric utility to I&M, and we'll be getting another 15 years worth of rent or lease, if you will, before they own it. So we have 15 more years of revenue coming in. It's discretionary money. We can use it for almost anything that we want. And many of you were involved in the process that we used to determine where we wanted to invest it, at least initially. And we are making progress there. But we still have some money that will be coming in. So, Bob, is it possible? I believe it is. If I wanted to pursue it, I'd have to go in front of City Council and get 6 votes. But as popular as the facade grant program is, I wouldn't be surprised if not the majority of council, it would be unanimous, I would think, because it has been so successful. It's helped out with economic development.
And they've been savvily distributed through the districts, too, so
yes.
Everybody appreciates them.
I want to move on a little bit with this. I'm curious. You know, we've had these successes now: the convention center, the ballpark, you know, Harrison Square. Now the Ash Brokerage, a big success as well, at least so far. Who is downtown Fort Wayne being designed for? Because you know, we often hear about young professionals wanting to get younger people in to get the energy into downtown, whether it's living, working downtown, playing downtown, of course. Who is downtown Fort Wayne being designed for? What are we looking for going forward?
I think you just answered the question, and that is the sense that we are trying to open up a venue to live, to work, and to play. for those that want to live downtown, we're trying to provide more and more housing alternatives, whether it's apartments, condominiums. Soon, I think we'll see some brownstones being built, and other types of possibilities as far as housing. So for those who want to live downtown, we're going to try to give you that opportunity in a variety of ways. So that's one constituency that we're trying to work with. The second is to work. The more businesses we can bring downtown, the better for us economically. And I think more and more young professionals, like all of you sitting out here, that you, I think, would enjoy working downtown because it's the central part of the city. You can reach almost anywhere in the city from downtown in a few minutes. A lot of these large cities have rush hours. Fort Wayne has a rush minute. I mean, it doesn't take you long to get from one end of the town to another. But being a central city, it takes you half that time. So I think a lot of people are beginning to realize that. A lot of empty nesters, too, are beginning to realize that as well. So we're getting this influx of people who want to live downtown and to work downtown. And then there's the play element. And that's a challenge that we have. We recently were involved in a Gallup poll, and one of our weaknesses was there wasn't enough play downtown. There weren't enough things for people to do downtown as for entertainment. And that's an area that we're working on. We're looking at a couple of different possibilities. But even without our input, the private sector is adding more and more. This restaurant is one example. And there are other restaurants coming, and there are some other people that we're talking to now that I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if it works out positively. But so it's a lot of it that's been privately driven. Some of it we're working on as part of our master plan. But living, working, and playing downtown, that's our motivation.
I want to remind the folks in here, we're going to get to a question and answer in about 10 minutes. So if you have a question for Mayor Henry, for Bill Brown on this topic, find somebody with we have papers are around the room, the question papers. You can find those, fill them out. So we'll try to get to, I know we have a lot of questions waiting. We'll try to get to as many as we can. I want to get back to this briefly, though, before we go to our listeners, the folks who are here tonight. In the master plan for developing downtown, I've heard from folks, who I've talked to who are very impressed about the developments in downtown in the last few years, on the playfront and on the housing front, so the Anthony Wayne Building, the Harrison. A lot of them, want to live downtown. They feel like a lot of those places are too expensive right now. So in the plan going forward, is there some consideration, I guess, for folks who, well, who maybe work for a nonprofit in town, I don't know, public radio, who want to be a part of the central city and be a part of that energy, but don't make six figures a year.
Well, Sean, made to order for you, or folks that are looking for affordable housing, the Randall Lofts, or formerly known as the Bonar Building, 44 units. Going in a five-story building right across from Columbia Street West on Pearl and Harrison, built by a quality developer that has a great track record. And so those properties are going to be affordable from $300 to $700 a month, brand new, fitted out, in a building that was really on its last leg, that had tried to be developed as apartments and condos in the 80s, another run at it in the right after 2000, had more luxury stuff. But this project's going to work, and last I talked to them, they had over 60 people on a waiting list to get downtown. This appetite for living downtown is huge. And I'd like to step back a little bit to your question about who is this being designed for, this downtown. Well, you got to think about it as an ecosystem. It's a term that's used. Downtown, our downtown is an ecosystem. We want it to thrive and be healthy in a way that works for anyone that wants to participate. The mayor talked about things to do. Well, I think there's two words to describe how to make a vibrant downtown: attraction and participation. And I kudos to 89.1 for putting this on. Obviously, they packed the house. They came up with an attraction downtown people wanted to participate in. That's the type of thing that we, and that is really, whether it's not-for-profit, I refer to it generally as private sector leadership, coming up with good ideas. Mm-hmm. So to your point, another piece of this, the neighborhoods that ring downtown, there's a lot of housing stock. I know folks that have moved into these neighborhoods, Lakeside, Brookwood, East Central, properties that are available in the teens. Nice properties that just need some sweat equity. I know back in the day, and I wouldn't doubt the mayor had been in that model too, you bought an older home and fixed it up, and that was part of turning the neighborhood the right direction. And I think this whole
concept... That was before my time, Bill. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do have you by a year or two. But anyway.
So affordability and that kind of diversity is a part of the plan as we go forward.
I think it's part of the plan, and I guess to talk about the plan, what you've got to remember, and people, you know, I've had the fortune to get to know a lot of these folks, the good fortune. These people are professionals. They take a ton of pride in understanding how to man and steer this ship and set the sail. And I think what they've done, they've got the sails really starting to catch the wind, and we're going places. Matter of fact, I was at a meeting the other day, and we went around the table, and people asked, what do I like about Fort Wayne? And the last person to speak, who is always kind of an advantage, said, what I love about Fort Wayne is the next 5 years.
We'll return in a minute to our conversation at WBOY's Issues and Ales. This is WBOY Presents. Stay with us.